Buenos dias, Iglesia. Good morning, church. Bonjour, l'église. Here we are, third week of Advent, Joy Sunday. And each week of Advent so far, we have been having Psalm 103 kind of give guidance and shape our Advent reflections. So far, we have heard from our sister Ivy on the hope that comes with Jesus' birth and the response of faith. Last week, we heard that the goal of God coming in Jesus was to save us into a life of peace where all things are set right and all is well. And today, we're going to look at the outcome in us. What happens in us when God brings hope and creates a way of peace by giving us his very self? And that is joy. Joy to the world. Bless the Lord. Good news of great joy for all people is the title of the sermon this morning. And I hope as you think back to the scripture readings that you have heard joy in these passages from Psalm 103 and from the Gospel of Luke. They are marked by joy. And if you're looking for like some cool stuff to do this Christmas, maybe do a word study on the word joy. I think you would have just a great time. Here's some of the things I learned this week about joy as we get into the sermon. When you start to learn about joy, you see that it's connected to words like gladness or mirth, like laughter. You know when things are so good and you just start to laugh? That's part of joy. And there's contentment with joy. Joy is often connected to this idea of light. Joy, like as in what we see, joy shines, it's visible, it's bright. And when the scripture writers want to talk about what joy kind of does, they use words like leaping. Like picturing in the springtime, like baby calves, you know? The parents are like walking like this. And what are the calves doing? They're like bouncing across the fields, leaping for joy. And joy is also connected to the other form of light, not as in not heavy, a lightness, a freedom, a sense of energy. We hear this also in the phrase, things spring up with joy. Now, if you imagine that you lived in where the Bible was written, this is a dry and wild kind of a place, right? There's desert all around you. And you could imagine that you depend, like all of us, on water, and you're digging for a well. And then you hit water. And whoosh, it springs up. What life-giving, what sense of peace, what joy would come for you as this water rushes from the depths. Joy springs up. We shout and cry out with joy. And especially in the New Testament, joy is linked to the idea of grace, of being a gift, as something that doesn't come from within, but from who God is and what God is doing. And so as we think about joy this morning, about what God has done and who God is and how our lives can be caught up in this, there's not enough hyperbole. Do you guys know that word, hyperbole? It's sort of like the words that you use that are like over and above anything you can possibly imagine. So if for you everything is awesome, that's hyperbole. If everything is great, hyperbole. When it comes to joy in Scripture, there isn't enough hyperbole to stretch out the meaning of joy. There's not enough words to capture the experience of the joy of the Lord. For joy is exuberant. It is excited. It is exceeding. It is great. We can be full of joy. We can be overjoyed. And I hope as well you heard that in the readings today, these bursts of praise of great joy. And so from all of that this week, here's what I learned. Joy is the response in us of knowing and experiencing all God is and that God is for us. That's going to be my job this morning, is to walk through Psalm 103 and Luke 1 and Luke 2 and highlight the ways that you and I can have joy, that we can know and experience God and that joy just bursts out of that for us. Let's take a look. Psalm 103 begins this way. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. David, the writer of the psalm, is calling on all that is within him to praise and bless the name of the holy name of the Lord. All of who David is, and all of who you are, and all of who I am, every part of me, the fullness of who we are, all feelings and thoughts and desires, motivations, behaviors, all that makes us us is being called to give voice to the praise of the Lord. Does anyone beside me ever, do some self-talk of encouragement? No? Maybe a show of hands? No, you don't talk to yourselves? I do. In fact, when I talk to myself to try to get myself to do something, I call myself Hughes. I don't even use my first name. So it's like, come on, Hughes, let's get to those dishes. This is what David is doing, right? He's calling on himself to be engaged in this discipline of praising God, of letting his joy at what God has done come through him. And joy is something for us that we can call ourselves into. Because joy can sneak up on us. It can break through the grumpiness and worry. It can coexist and even give shape to grief and lament. Joy can cut through tension and offer grace to be refocused on God and what matters. Maybe those are sermons for another day, but here what we learn from Psalm 103 is that joy is a choice. It is a choice we can make given who God is and what God is about. That's what David is doing, calling upon himself. Come on, David, join in the joy of the Lord. Look to the Lord. Look to what the Lord has done and let it come through me in joy of praising the Lord. And this is really good news because this means I don't have to actually, that joy doesn't start with me. I don't have to create circumstances to get involved and experience and know joy. God and his work are what is needed to know and experience joy. And David is saying to us, if you want to know the joy of the Lord, then look to the Lord. Choose where your focus is going to be. And we can lose our focus. It's not that hard. Right? There's much in this world that can take our attention, much that demands of us. And given how easy it is to be distracted, we can often settle for happiness or comfort instead of joy. We can, as we are told, to follow our bliss, living a life of pursuing happiness. But what we learn from David and from these other passages is that joy is actually not even really the goal. Joy is not something that can be found in pursuing it. Right? You can't find joy in pursuing material comforts or power or prestige or reputation. Joy is not something you can find as you go looking for followers online or IRL in real life for those of you who are a bit older. Joy is not found in the love of another or sex or drugs or doing something really important in your life. True joy, Christian joy, is an outcome of being focused on what matters. It's of a fruit that comes from the living God being near and at work in you. This is why we call joy a fruit of the Spirit, something that grows in us as the Spirit brings us to have our life focused and shaped and aligned with God and his ways. And this is one of the most surprising things about joy, is that it can come then even in the worst of circumstances we can know. Even in those times, we can experience joy. And joy comes to us as a sign that there is something more, that despair or lack of meaning or a rat race to have more, the emptiness of vain pursuits is not the ultimate end for us. Joy sparks in the darkest places to remind us that God is at work to restore his people and return them to salvation. Joy overflows to us because of the great depths of God's goodness that is for us. Joy is a response of knowing and experiencing all God is and that God is for us. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. praise his holy name, and forget not all his benefits. We are satisfied then. Our deepest and truest and best needs are met and find satisfaction in the Lord. You can, we sang about this morning. Thank you, Rachel and Christina and Adam, for leading us in worship and song of what the Lord has done for us. We heard a few weeks ago from Ivy as well on in her sermon on hope, how David delights and enjoys the Lord's benefits. And if you missed that one, I'd encourage you to go check it out. You can find all our sermons audio online at abbeydale.org, or you can go and search us up on YouTube to find the recorded streams of our services. But to get into this idea of benefits, this thing that God has stuff for us, we're actually going to turn to the next scripture reading, to Luke 1, and this passage that is referred to as the Magnificat. Magnificat is a Latin term for this word that Mary has in her burst of praise. It's that her soul glorifies or magnifies the Lord. And this burst of praise comes after she is greeted by the angel of Gabriel and hears the Lord's plan to invite her to be the one to bear the Messiah, this anointed, long-awaited, promised Savior into the world. And she gives her yes of faith, even knowing the scandal it will cause, even knowing the dangers it will put her into. Because, you know, who's going to believe her? That she, a virgin, could have a baby. Even Joseph, her fiancé, doesn't believe her. He needs a dream to get him on board. And so as we get into thinking about the benefits God has for us, I'd like us to actually just pause here for a second to consider a few things of joy from her story. And what comes with her story is that there is a surprise of joy. Because God's ways are not our ways. We see this in Scripture. We've spent a lot of time this past year in the book of Exodus. And God makes this surprising way of salvation and provision for his people. Sometimes we sing this song, right? God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Or a more recent take on a similar theme goes like this: lead on, good shepherd, I will follow you all my days. There is nothing greater than to watch you make a way. And we have the whole book of Scripture outlining God doing incredible, gracious, merciful works to save us and make things right. We have really big things like the Exodus, leading his people out of Egypt, and then even daily miraculous things like providing food to one family, a widow and her son, and their guest, the prophet Elijah, during a drought. God has a surprising way of working a way for his people. And Mary being chosen and favored by God underlines this surprise of joy. Who would have thought that God's promised arrival would come this way, through a young woman, and Jesus becoming human and coming to be with us? No one thought God's long-awaited coming would be like this. This is not in the standard playbook of Scripture. What we heard read for us, well chosen, by the way, Ivy as Elizabeth and Julia as Mary, right? We're kind of used to folks who are maybe past their childbearing age having children. That's already in the Christmas story. But that a child that God himself would take on our very nature, that he would be incarnate and become like us, this is something incredibly new. And then it comes to Mary in Nazareth. It's a backwater town. If you go to John's gospel, one of the soon-to-be disciples of Jesus, when told about Jesus and that he comes from Nazareth, says this: Nazareth, what good comes from Nazareth? Nazareth is the place you hear about and say, I'm never going there. I want to stay away from there. For us Calgarians, this is my neck of the wood. It's Greater Forest Lawn. Places of little or to no significance and carry with them great suspicion. That's Nazareth, a place you look your nose down on. And the good news of Jesus' incarnation, taking on our flesh in Mary, comes during Roman occupation. A time of heightened stress and worry of what may happen if the so-called peace of Rome is disturbed. In fact, right up the road from Nazareth, what good comes from there, is another town called Sepphoris. A few years before Jesus is born, it's a site of a revolt. And the town is burnt to the ground and everyone's enslaved. This is the reality of Mary's life. And Mary being chosen and favored underscores the incredible surprise of God's good news of great joy for all. For all people. All meaning Mary. People like her in dire circumstances. Folks whose situations others would just write them off. People whose circumstances would cause them to be dismissed or overlooked. What good can come there in a time like this to a person like her? Mary's involvement underscores that God's good news is for all, like me all and you all. God's goodness doesn't write people off. God's work is not put off by reputations or barriers. God's life, salvation, and peace, and the hope it brings is for all people and all places and all times and all circumstances. See, the joy is a response of knowing and experience all God is and that God is for us, for me, and for you, for us all. Here's something you can do this week, a little bit of homework. I want you to go and reflect on the surprising grace of God being for you. And how this surprising grace, like with Mary, can turn to this burst of praise as we reflect on what God has done. So take some time this week to reflect on how God's been at work in your life. And keep thinking on it. That's what Mary does after all. She keeps pondering and pondering and pondering. And keep letting the good news of great joy that God is for you and with you be ever present in your mind. Make it a habit this week to do what Mary does. Ponder all these things in her heart. And as you do, perhaps you, like David and like Mary, will have joy come bursting out in praise. And let's now turn to how she puts into words the Lord's benefits for her and for her people, what God is doing in Jesus' birth. Her words in this Magnificat began very personal. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Her very being is soaring and glorifying, magnifying, rejoicing in God because she knows that God sees her, is mindful of her. From now on, she continues, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. God is doing this great thing. And what God is doing in Jesus is for her. She's a humble servant. She knows that, and she says, oh, but look, this is at the end of her words, his mercy extends to all who fear him from generation to generation. That she knows that she is part of this people, a faithful people that through the generations fear the Lord. That means to respect and be in awe of God and let it guide their lives. And what she sees now is what she and all the people before have been waiting for. That Jesus' birth is part of God's mercy, his holy, mighty mercy to reach out and do something incredible, something she and her people have been waiting for, have been long promised. That what Jesus is do, what God is going to do in Jesus and through her is being the fulfillment of what he promised to Abraham. Jesus is the promised help to set things right. He has helped his servant Israel. Remember to be merciful to Abraham and descendants forever, just as you promised our ancestors. And then she kind of describes this in a way that maybe you and I are not as used to hearing as part of the Christmas story. Something that maybe we need to pay a little bit more attention to. Because the middle part of this burst of praise, of her Magnificat, her magnifying the Lord, goes like this. Here's how God is sending help. Here is God's salvation is coming. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. What? He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. This is language of justice. This is almost like a protest song. This is language of righteousness. It's language of reckoning and judgment. And it's a joy for Mary to know that what God is doing in Jesus is bringing about his righteous reign. And at first glance, this can seem a little bit at odds with what the angels later say, that with the coming of Jesus, it's good news for all people of great joy. How is what God is doing in Jesus good news for the proud if they will be scattered? If the rich, if they are sent away empty, if for the rulers, if they are brought down. These way of life for these kind of folks come at the expense of others. We can see how it's at least good news for those who suffer under them. You know, we pray for many places in this world that have not known peace for a while. Think of the joy that would come if Putin was deposed. And with that coming the end of the occupation of Ukraine. That would be a great day of joy, wouldn't it? But it is good news for all. And the first way it's good news for all is because in Mary's song, in her words, we see that God is on the side of justice. Our God is for setting things right. And our joy is not based on escaping this world. Our joy is based on God being very serious. As serious as the cross on setting things right, of establishing justice, of making a way for his kingdom to come, for the rule of God once again to be on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus, God is lifting up the hungry, lifting up the humble, filling the hungry with good things. He is reaching out in his mercy to all who fear him. It is good news of great joy for all because as Mary has seen of God, God is engaging in creation to set things right. And so with Mary's words and with the story of Jesus' birth, we can rejoice that justice is not naive, not just some fancy ideal in our heads, but God's very intention. Joy comes to all who can know and experience all God is and how God is for us. And so strangely enough, this joy we hear of Mary is also good news for these proud and the powerful and the rich. But it's a strange kind of good news because you see, they're not in the right. For them to embrace God's salvation, it means they have to lose a lot. It means they need to repent, like you and I need to do, like all who fear the Lord need to do. Pride and power and riches are three ways of insulating ourselves against our deep need of God. And so as I hear Mary's words and as it maybe confronts my own life, I might ask myself, what do I do? What do I cling to insulate myself from releasing my need of God? I ask myself, what will God do because he is so for me to reach me even as I hold myself apart from him? Because if I am being poisoned by pride, is it not good news to send me from that place? If I'm being consumed with power, taking all I can and holding it over others, is it not good news of great joy to remove me from that source? If I am amassing all the wealth I can and letting it be my focus instead of on the plight of those who are hungry, is it not good news for me to be emptied? Is that not the way for us to begin to hear the good news of great joy for all people? That sometimes we need to let go. Sometimes we need to let go of things that will not last, to grab on to the offer of God for things that really matter. What God is doing in Jesus as Mary sees, as we are told by Scripture, is coming to set things right. Coming with peace, for justice, coming with mercy. God is coming with good news of great joy for all people. All people. Even those who maybe put up barriers. Even those who set themselves apart. Even those who others might write off. Even those who think they are nothing. Even those who think they are too far gone. Even those who think they have sinned too much. Even those who are enemies of God. Because the joy of what the Lord is doing, the scope of it, in Jesus will continue to surprise and shock by its grace and its mercy. We read in Romans chapter 5, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more will we be saved from God's wrath through him? For while we are still God's enemies, we are reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved through his life? God's good news is for all people, even the enemies of God. That was my state when Christ died for me. God's good news of great joy has reached me because of the cross. Because of the cross, I can know God's good news of great joy is for you too. Because of the cross, I have joy. Because there is a way for me and you, for all people to know and experience all God is and how God is for us. As we get ready to conclude, we're going to go to the story of the shepherds, just briefly. One last reflection on joy from the story of the shepherds. We have learned how God is for us and how God is for us all. And with Mary, we see that the joy that comes when God is for us is also through us. Right? She participates. She's in. She's a partner with God in this. And the shepherd's encounter with the Lord presses in on this point. When the shepherds hear of the great joy for all people, they're on the move. As soon as the angels leave, we have to go see this. We can't miss out. And they go and they seek and they find Jesus. And then they leave. Not because they have thinking, I have to get back to my sheep. They do have to get back to their sheep eventually. But what they first do is they're like, we have to tell people. They go and they spread this word of hope, of peace, of joy to all that they come across. The joy that they have found in knowing that God is for them and with them sort of just sets them on mission. It gets them moving. They're energized. They have to share what they have learned. And so as we ponder and focus on who God is and what God has done for us as a source of our joy, as we call on ourselves to look to God for our joy, as we ponder the joy of the surprising grace of God being for us, and let the ponderings turn to expressions of joyful praise, as we are in awe and overjoyed that God really is for us and for us all and for you and for me. My challenge for us this week is, having known and experienced the joy of the Lord, to be like the shepherds, to be like Mary, to let God's joy work through you and being passed on to others. Because joy gets us praising and pondering, and then it sends us. It gets us leaping to new places. It springs up in us in new and surprising ways. It is like a light in us that others see and is visible. Joy. Joy brings contentment and mirth and laughter, and it brings gladness. This is the kind of way our God is. And this is the kind of life that God has for us. And where will it send us? Where will the joy of the Lord send you this week? to be that sign, that meeting point, that encounter of who God is and what God is doing. May God's joy open us to know that God is for us, to be for us all, and move us to join in with what God is doing to become a channel, a connection of God's good news of great joy, reaching through us so others, even enemies, can know and experience the goodness of God as God has done for us in Jesus, and so that there can be good news of great joy for all people. Amen.